Hello, everyone. Let me get everything situated and ready to go so that we have all the right screens up. This is our Q&A call. We are going to do lots of good questions this week. Let me bring Coach Lisa up, panelist. She will be in the Q&A. I'm going to answer a lot of Q&A. She's also going to be answering Q&A over there so that we can get through as many questions as we possibly can today. So if you are in the chat and you see all caps, that is Coach Lisa. Our team always types in the all caps so that you know who we are. You don't have to worry, like, who's this person giving me advice? Why is this person yelling at me? It's just us. And it's an easy way to make sure that you understand who's talking to you. All right. Lots of you said you're loving the new course, the Conquering the Scale course. That's what I want to kick things off with today. So let me tell you a little bit about how this goes. Hang on a second. Let me get my sheet back up. I had all my notes up and then I had to rearrange my screens. All right. So this is Q&A, which means that if you're brand new to NoBS, sometimes people join us, you know, when we have big openings or you bring in lots of people. And then if you're brand new to us, very often what happens is you start listening to the podcast or you see something on Facebook, you take the free course and you have a few days to join. And so a lot of people love to just jump in, take the plunge and just trust us right off the bat. So some of you are new. If you are, this call is optional. You do not need to listen to it in order to successfully lose weight. It's one of those things that you layer in after you've taken the NoBS course. So for everyone listening, I don't care if you've been here 5 years or you've been here 5 minutes, you need to finish the NoBS weight loss course. I do want to say something to our OGs. So if you're like, ooh, what is an OG? I keep hearing everybody talk about an OG. OG actually stands for original gangster. It's what we call our elders around here, which means you've been in the membership for a year or more, and we just call you our OGs. If you haven't taken NoBS in a while, I would highly recommend, and you feel like maybe you're stuck or you feel like you've, like you need a little, like a reminder of how to do things. It is very common for us to hear content. I was thinking about this morning. I am getting ready to write a brand new course for something. And it has been a while since I took the original course that taught me how to write courses. So your small courses that I give you every month, they're pretty easy for me to do. They're like me and Yasmin, we can bang those out. But when you're going to make a huge course that's like massive in scale and stuff, like I was sitting there thinking, I've forgotten like half of what she's taught me, if not three quarters of it. And I don't want to wing it. So if you're sitting around and you feel like it's been a while since you actually took the course, you feel like you're trying to wing it a lot. You don't understand why things aren't clicking. You're thinking things like, I know what I should be doing, but I'm not doing it. This is a signal, not a weakness. And I think this is important for a lot of people to understand. A signal is where things are happening, like you catch yourself doing things, you catch yourself thinking things, you catch yourself feeling things. Maybe you're seeing the scale not move. Maybe you're seeing the scale go up. Maybe you're seeing yourself overeat. Those are not failures. Those are not shame moments. Those aren't things going wrong. That's not you failing. They're called signals. They're signals to dive back in, refresh yourself on the content, take a very honest look without beating yourself up. Use the scientist mindset of, here are the things that Corinne says to do to lose weight. Here's what I'm currently doing. Where are they not like in lockstep? The areas that aren't in lockstep are not things that you just don't get, that are too hard for you, that you've been doing for so long, you don't know how to get out of, that you're unmotivated. All of that is thoughts that are blocking you from taking that action. When you look at what I say to do and how you're currently living and what's not happening in the middle, that's called opportunities for growth. That's called the things that when I work on them one at a time, take me to where I would like to be. And I think a lot of people get in a shitty mindset about this stuff. They think their thoughts are just true. Like, I've been here a while, or hell, some of y'all have been here a month and you're not stopping at enough perfectly. And you're like, but I've listened to your videos. I've been here for like 30 days. Why am I not doing this perfectly? I must be broken. I must be too dumb to get this. This must not be meant for me. That's the thoughts that keep you from thinking, what can I try to find enough? Who can I ask for tips? So it's just really important that all of you think about, you know, am I using the content or am I just listening to it? When Corinne says something about, you know, I taught this in module one, do I go back and listen to module one and do the worksheet with it? Or do I just like, yeah, she did say that. I vaguely remember. Like, this is one of the things that I think when y'all ask me, Corinne, what makes you so successful? I always have a beginner's mindset. Always. I never think about being a beginner as a bad thing. I never think that if I'm not able to do something, that this is like a personal statement on me. You know what I do think? When I don't know how to do something, I think, I wonder where that information is to go figure that out. What do I need to read? I just start getting into thinking. My core belief is if I'm not doing something that I know would help me, that the only thing standing in my way is a thought or action or both. And all I need to do is figure out, am I thinking I can do this or am I thinking I can't? And what are my bullshit reasons as to why I can't? I go to work on overcoming all of those. I prove them all false. Every one of you can prove those things false. If you open your mind to it, that it will be false. Just because it feels true doesn't make it true. It will only feel true if you keep arguing for that truth. Now I want you to argue why your excuses, your justifications, your automatic thinking around things. I want you to start arguing as to why that's fake ass. Fake ass. It's not true. It just feels true because I keep thinking it is, and then I keep trying to come up with supporting evidence to make it true. Now I want you to find supporting evidence for something else. What is the one small action you could take today? What is the little thing you could be doing? So for everyone, y'all revisit that no BS as often as it takes. And then we have tons of content everywhere that supports those problem areas. Whatever you identify in the middle, I promise you, we got courses or we got calls that will help you unlock it. But it, y'all got to quit just listening. Every single person, think about this. Like, I read a lot of books. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I take lots of courses. I'm constantly in learning mode all the time. And when I'm learning, if it's something I know I need to work on, if they say answer this question, if they say listen to this podcast, if they say do this worksheet, whatever they say to do, I'm like, they probably know more than me because I'm sitting here consulting them. So I'm not going to let my excuses and my insecurities decide what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what they say because they got their shit together. They know how to solve this problem. And I fucking paid them money to help me with it. When I get a book, when whatever you do, like if you're in no BS, do the things I say to do. If I say leave half your food for a week to figure out if you're hungry, don't just be like, well, that would be a good idea, but that would be hard. I mean, I like finishing my plate. I always have in the Clean Plate Club. All right. You know what? In order to lose weight, you have to be able to do. You have to say like, yeah, that is all the excuses that I've been using to stuff my face. Those aren't real. Do you know how to get out of the Clean Plate Club? leave food behind and feel like ass until it doesn't feel like ass anymore, until you're actually losing weight and you're like, oh yeah, it's not so bad. Now I serve myself less. I don't waste food. I mean, right now we're sitting in the middle of inflation. Food costs all time high. Guess what? You want to save some money? You want to save the 16% that food's now costing us extra? Here's what I would do. Eat till enough. Cut out all that overeating. That'll put some money in your bank. This is important stuff. We have to override our brain. We have to realize what it's thinking. And in conquering the scale, which is the course. So once you get through No BS, the course we're doing this month as a group, which if you're doing No BS, please don't sit there and be like, oh my God, I need to learn how to conquer the scale, Brad. I'm not going to be able to do it. Yeah, you will. Because we keep everything for you. You could do it on your own the second you finish No BS. In conquering the scale, I teach you how to adjust your thoughts. A fuck ton. A butt ton, because that's all the scale does is reveal thoughts to us. All of our automatic thinking. You taking that course this month will show you the power of finding thoughts and changing them and how much better you can show up for yourself in life when you do so. It is the same formula. Everything I teach you, I'm going to see if I can find this post. I don't know if I can find it. I don't remember who wrote it this morning. I'm going to go to my Facebook, see if they commented on it, because I left a message. That wasn't it. No, naturally that person, nobody has commented on my post somebody this morning, wrote in the group about the Conquering the Scale course. And she said things like she started noticing that she needed to pivot her thinking. So whoever it was in there, I appreciate you. I swear I either left a comment or I think I left a comment. She was saying how she took the Conquering the Scale course and realized that when her thoughts came up, that she could think something different. And she started noticing all the areas in her life where she's like, I think I'm thinking like shit here. I think I could just pivot my thinking here a little bit. I don't have to make it so bad. I don't have to make it so dramatic. I don't have to make it wonderful, but I sure as fuck don't have to make it miserable either. In conquering the scale, that's what I'm teaching you. I'm teaching you that around goal setting. I'm teaching that around when the scale goes up. I'm teaching you that when the scale goes down, some of us get triggered with automatic negative thinking. I'm teaching you like when you stall out. And so take that course. It's going to apply to more than just the weight loss. And then next month's course, Stalls and Plateaus, it is the perfect builder upon this course. I just filmed everything yesterday. We talk about stalls and what they are. What is the difference between a stall and denial dieting? We talk about mindless eating. We talk about it tastes so good. We talk about the common things that keep us stuck that we need to override in our brain first if we're ever going to override it by doing new things. So this month is all about conquering the scale. And if you want the replay for Goal Weight 101, Coach Julie took everyone through the worksheet last Saturday. It is now in the Live Training Replays podcast, and it's also on the video replays page. And then if you're in our Facebook group, every Friday we post a weekly weigh-in thread. You can share your weigh-in for the week and you can get coaching from our team. Our team goes through that thread every single week. So if you are someone who needs help, or like you weigh in and you feel like maybe I'm overly excited. Maybe I'm so excited that I'm putting too much personal stock in what the scale is saying, and I'm not putting stock in my behaviors that get there. You can go to that thread and you can post. If you're not in Facebook, you can always post your weigh-in and what happened and what you're thinking and what you're going to do and ask coaches. We will also help you there too. Let's see. We had 30 new members join the Queen's Club this month. So that's 30 more people lost over 25 pounds since joining. Joined just this week. Let's see. Lindsay Hardaway said, I joined an OBS after I'd lost 75 pounds. I maintained for about 3 years, then slowly started regaining. The mindset shifts and tools and tricks taught in OBS have helped me get those regained pounds off and made me feel more in control of food and decisions that I have in a long time. For anyone that has regained some weight, I highly recommend that you go on over to the NoBSWomen.com, look under the self-study resources. We have a workshop that we did last year called the Regain Solution, because when we did that class, so many people ended up gaining some weight during COVID and they wanted some help. So you can always take that if you're like Lindsay, who had lost weight, regained. She joined us and NoBS helped her. But if you're inside NoBS and maybe you've had something tough come up in life, maybe something you've had life circumstances and that was enough to get you eating. It was your next biggest obstacle. Don't just sit there and feel bad about yourself and feel helpless. Just decide. All right, that's happened. What are we going to do about it now? Don't sit around and regret and shame yourself, feel guilty, replay the past, coulda, woulda, wished yourself into different things. Do something. Take the Regain Solution. And then we also had two members join the Century Club this week, which we had two more members who lost 100 pounds, Penny Nagy and Debs Brisky. So congratulations to y'all. Is there a Think Feel Do Cycle worksheet somewhere? Yeah, in the back of your planner. So inside your planner, in the very back is a journaling thing. There's little boxes right there. They ask you the questions. Your thought, like, you know, I'm currently thinking, I'm currently feeling, and I'm currently doing. And then there's another one for how you want to move forward. I could be thinking, I could be feeling, and I could be doing. And then all throughout, everywhere, we have tons and tons of information on like Think, Feel, Do Cycle. Some of you are looking for the old CTFAR that we used to use. Guys, you don't need a worksheet on it. You just write, here, I'll show you. I'm actually teaching inside of Scholars today. So when I leave here, I'm going straight to Self-Coaching Scholars to teach over there. This is where I got trained. It's the same thing. CTFAR is exactly the same as Think, Feel, Do, y'all. They're no different. The only difference is when I teach Think, Feel, Do, I like to focus on the middle part because this is where we have like the control. We don't have control of the circumstances. Now, it's nice to think about our circumstances, but if everybody wants to just see this real quick, it's a circumstance. This is just the facts of life. This is what I tell you all the time. Shit going on around you all the damn time. How you think about it. That's the think. F, that's the feeling. A, I call it D for do, because I think it's a lot easier to think about it as a do instead of an action. We're either doing something or we ain't doing something. We're creating doable hunger or we're doing undoable hunger. So I like the do. And then result is the last thing. But for a worksheet, all you gotta do is write down CTFAR. That's it. You don't need a whole worksheet on it. Like, I don't have one. And I'm a certified master coach from that organization. I just get out my paper. I write CTFAR. So I am thinking CTFAR. How do I want to think about it? That's it. It's the same thing with think, feel, do. It's like, I'm currently thinking, I'm currently feeling, I'm currently doing. Is that what I want? If it's not what you want, what do you want to be thinking? What's a doable thought? And then next month, when we get into Stalls and Plateaus, our next course, we'll talk even more about doable thoughts. All right, let's see. I also want to give a shout out to two OGs. I want to give a shout out to Heidi K and Kathy A. There was a post that kind of went a little viral inside our group. It was such a good one, where some of the OG members were asking for help. And Kathy and Heidi both have been around, I think, since 2019 or 18. And both of them have taken some action. They decided, rather than just sitting around thinking, I've been around a long time, I should know better. For somehow I'm just stuck. I don't know why I'm just stuck. They just decided to do something new. Who cares why you're stuck? Shit, y'all. You shouldn't care why you're stuck. You know what you need to do? You need to think like, I want to be unstuck, rather than sitting around thinking about why I am. So if I want to be unstuck, what is something I'm willing to do today? This is one of the things we're going to talk a lot about in Stalls and Plateaus. What are you willing to do? I'm going to teach y'all a lot about a 1% level up. I know the reason why y'all get stuck. Y'all want to do 180s. You won't fix everything overnight. You think you got to. That's another thought. I got to fix it all. Your brain wants to polarize. That's the way it's designed. You do not need to polarize. Here's what needs to happen. When an opportunity presents itself, like I notice I'm always overeating at dinner. An opportunity to become someone who figures out how not to overeat has presented itself. Now, y'all do this. I got a problem. I'm going to need some coaching. Corinne, every night, I sit there. It's just tasting good. It just happens to me. All of that is a narrative that you're telling yourself. You're telling yourself that it's out of your control. You're telling yourself it happens too fast. Instead of telling yourself, I need to put some parameters in place to eat slower so it doesn't happen so fast. You're telling yourself it just happens every night, instead of telling yourself, how can I make tonight different? How you tell the story of your overeating opportunities will tell me how you react through them. So it's important that y'all quit calling them problems, like roadblocks, your barriers, your shit show, your failures. All that whole narrative needs to change. I want you to start thinking about my habit tracker, my planner every day. When I observe myself in the wild of eating, it's all showing me opportunities of things that I can choose to work on. And I ain't got to fix all of them. Y'all, I did not fix everything overnight. That is why I lost weight. I've told y'all this 1,000 fucking times. You don't need to change everything in order to change everything for yourself. You got to pick something and just get started. Instead of sitting around looking at all the things, and the only thing that starts up is a beatdown or avoidance tactics or bullshit thinking like it's going to be too hard. Break it down to where it's not too hard, to where it's like, okay, that's fucking totally doable. The only thing standing in my way now is me thinking it's not good enough. So I'm not listening to that part of my brain anymore. That part of my brain's wrong. The only thing not good enough is sitting around wishing it was easier, sitting around waiting to be motivated, sitting around hoping something changes, sitting around feeling sorry for myself. That's not good enough anymore. So let's redefine what's not good enough. All of you, you do me a favor. You go to the Facebook today. And I want you to drop in there, I have thought about what is no longer good enough in my life. What's no longer good enough is how I talk about my overeats. What's no longer good enough is sitting around thinking I should feel excited about leaving some food behind. You know what I should feel? Restless. Because if I feel restless, if I feel agitated, if I feel like a little deprived, guess what? I'm probably trying to do something new. I'm probably going to need to pass through those emotions until I convince myself, oh, wait, I'm not deprived. I'm just stopping at enough. Seems to me I'm living just fine. I haven't dropped dead of starvation. Amazing. Same thing with like feeling scared or feeling restless about leaving food behind or agitated. Yeah, you need to feel that. You know why? Because when you feel it, here's what you don't do. You don't solve feeling agitated and solve feeling restless by just eating. You give yourself a choice in that moment. You say like, all right, I'm going to leave some food behind tonight. I know me. I'm not going to like it. My brain's going to throw up all the horse shit. So then when you come into said meal, this is what you do. I knew all these thoughts was coming up. I knew I would feel a little agitated. I knew I would feel restless. I knew my mouth would water. I knew my brain would want to just keep eating, just keep eating. In the moment you tell yourself, I knew exactly these feelings were coming, guess what you also feel? Prepared. Instead of caught off guard. Instead of feeling like it's too much. Instead of feeling and thinking these feelings are too much, you're now thinking, I knew this was coming and I just need to wait it out. And when I wait it out a couple of times, my brain will start regulating to this being a new normal. My brain will quit freaking out so much. Right now, there's only one thing happening, sentences and feelings. I can deal with those. All of you, I promise you can deal with them. All right. I am definitely going down the rabbit hole with y'all on all kinds of things. Conquering the scale this week is lessons 3 and 4, setting a goal weight, and it all starts with mindset. I highly, like, y'all, well, let me just say this. I am tooting my own horn. Tooting my own horn here. My ability to explain the concepts inside of No BS are just getting better and better. And I ain't gonna lie. I study shit for y'all. I think about y'all. There is not a, I can't even think of, if my eyes are awake, I am thinking about how to help women lose weight. I am thinking about how to make sure this business runs in such a way that I can touch as many lives as I possibly can. And a lot of that comes with, I know that my talent is being able to explain things in such a way someone says, I get it. I get it. This is what I need to do. And I'm not telling you that to brag. I'm telling you that because I want you to start really taking our content seriously. There is no one doing it better. I have joined all kinds of programs, snooping, looking. No one's fucking doing it better than us. And I will promise you, if you can find somebody doing it better, show me. But I can guarantee you this, there is no company that cares more about you. It ain't just me that loves you. And y'all know me, I cry when I talk about y'all. But my whole motherfucking team is just as passionate and just as dedicated to all of you. I don't hire people to work for this company who don't want to lay their balls and their tits down on the line every day for all of you. And so start listening to it. It is life-changing. I know I'm just teaching weight loss, but I promise you it's going to apply to so many areas of your life. All right. The call to action this week, other than go into the Facebook group, I do want y'all to tell me, I want to see some manifestos of what is no longer good enough. What is the stuff that I tell myself is not good enough that is a bald-faced lie? What's actually not good enough is sitting around thinking taking any action, even if it's a baby step forward, is not good enough. That kind of shit is now, it is a no. The next call to action is share this week in Facebook how you're going to talk to yourself before weighing in this week. This will be something awesome for y'all to do tomorrow on Thursday. Share how you're going to talk to yourself. What words you going to be using? What sentences? Are you going to put little sticky notes on your scale, on the wall in front of you? Whatever you're doing, we want to see it so that more of our women will get motivated to do the same. And you never know when your little trick, your little tip has somebody else been like, I wouldn't have thought to even do it. Thank you for sharing that. You can share it in the main or you can take it to your subgroups. All right. First question. This is a really good question. This actually was posted in the Facebook group. And I really want to answer it because I think it's important and it happens a lot. And I also want to tell this person, I don't know who asked it, but if you take the self-sabotage course that we have inside of No BS in the self-paced courses, I actually talk about this exact thing in there. All right. I just started losing my weight and the unsolicited comments about my body from well-meaning people have begun. I'm seriously triggered from abuse in my past. And I'm here to ask who has faced this before and if you can help me with new thoughts or kind responses. Because right now, my thoughts include a lot of feelings of being unsafe, wanting to eat and drink to sabotage, and avoid attention and choice expletives for anyone who dares says, wow, you look great. Thanks in advance. All right. So here's something that's really smart this person's doing is number one, they're very self-aware. The first step into figuring out your shit is to get very self-aware. This person is aware. They are aware that they're having a trauma response. And that's normal. So whether you have had what's called big T trauma or little T trauma, I believe a lot of this information is in the Ending Self-Sabotage course. It is sprinkled throughout. I think Jane talks about it in Trusting Your Body too. It doesn't matter which one you have. When your body it feels unsafe, it will throw up emotions and it will throw up the thoughts that help cascade those emotions. So one of the first things that I think is very helpful in this situation is just knowing that when you feel threatened, when you feel unsafe, a key thing is to be able to tell yourself, this is my trauma response. Because in this post, you can tell the poster knows nothing's actually going wrong. And this is another thing to tell yourself. It's like, okay, I understand. Like when we talk about the four N's, this person notices the first N in the four N's. Notice what you're thinking. They're noticing not only their thought, but their feeling. They're feeling unsafe. They're noticing their thoughts that this isn't good. I need to stop this. What I want that person to do is now just normalize it, which is the second N in the four N's, which is where you say, this is my trauma response. This is a very common thing that happens when someone's been abused specifically around their body. That can be like, for me, I have a trauma response when people are talking about my body. So I get a lot of social media hate. I get trolls. I get people who think I'm too big, too much loose skin. Hell, people make fun of my hair. Like when it was short, they made fun of it. When it's long, they made fun of it. When I grew it out and took it long, they said it should be short. When it was short, they said I should grow it out. Can't please anybody. So, but in my mind, every single time I read a comment on social, when somebody is talking about my body, it really upsets me on the inside. Like, it happens so fast. I call it like a cascade of emotion and fear comes over me. And I know it's only because I was bullied as a kid around my body. My body was a problem for a long time to other kids, teachers, my father, and different people. And it makes sense that as an adult, because it was so traumatic when I was a kid, that my brain thinks that when somebody doesn't like my body now, that I'm going to be ostracized. That I'm like, it remembers all of that. All of that sadness, all of that fear, all that wanting to fit in, it still remembers all of that. And that's okay. I want to be comforting to my nervous system. And I think that that's really important for this person. You want to normalize your body is having a trauma response. And then you want to neutralize it by going to, they're saying words about my body. They're, this was all that was said. Like, nothing's physically happening to me. And then I think for people who are having a big nervous system reaction, it's like, agree with yourself that you may want to say the expletives, you may want to eat, agree with yourself. I don't do anything about it because I've looked at it long enough to know nothing is creating danger right now. My brain just hasn't caught up yet that we're okay. And you settle your nerves. I pat my heart and I do deep breathing a lot whenever I have one of these responses. That's very helpful. So you notice what's going on. You normalize that you're having a traumatic response. You neutralize by reminding yourself of what's the only thing that's really happening in this moment. Your brain's trying to go to what used to happen. And we want to stay with this moment. It's just trying to protect you. And then you can go to your next best thought or action. You may want to have, like you asked, some prepared things to say, like, thank you. I've been working hard. You may even want to just say, thank you, but I don't talk about my body much. I like to talk about other things. Like, if you don't want to discuss your body, you have the authority and the power to just let people know in a nice way. Like, I appreciate that. Let me tell you about what I've been doing, because I think that's way more important than how I'm looking. Those are things that we can do. If you don't want people commenting on your body, you can say things like that to shift the conversation. And when you shift the conversation, you are likely to start watching your nervous system relax. And that's the real key here. So I hope that was helpful, but it is very normal when you've had traumatic experiences. Like, for people who've been bullied like me, sometimes we want to all of a sudden start a new diet. I can't tell you how often I think I should lose a few more pounds simply because somebody on the internet says some bullshit about my body. I will sit and look out. I will like stand naked in front of Chris and say, do you think I need to lose weight? Like, is there something wrong with me? Do you think if I lost a little more weight, it would make a big difference? He's like, do you think if you lost 5 pounds that the world is going to quit commenting on your body? No. Not at all. And I've just decided to apply my focus to liking my body and being there and comforting myself in the moments when somebody else doesn't. Instead of trying to change them or change my body to fit a narrative, I've decided to change my mindset around who I want to be for myself. And I think that's important for all of us. So, all right. I'm not used to asking for help. Sometimes when I have an issue, I want to come in the group. Then I feel like I'm being too needy and should be able to figure it out by myself. How can I stop feeling like I'm too much and asking too much? Two things you can do. Number one, if you're not ready to go into the group, start with asking for help and ask coaches. So if you go to nobswomen.com, you can go there and you can post your question and one of our coaches will start helping you. That might get you used to reaching out and used to noticing. Maybe it's not that I'm needy. Maybe it's that I've always thought I was needy, and what I am is smart enough to use my membership that I pay for to ask for help. Because that's also true. Then if you want to go into the group and then ask a question, you can. The Facebook group is there for y'all. And I have a team of, I believe, 6 or 7, I think. Let's see. Kara, Mary Jo, Missy, Emily. Who am I missing? Kathy. Who am I missing? Oh, and Heidi. We have 6 people. We just moved Dina over to coaching. We have 6 dedicated humans just to the Facebook group. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, for a membership our size, that's like usually they have one. One. But I am not Noom, and I am not Weight Watchers, and I am not all them bullshit people. Not only are our members there to help you, but we are also there to help you. You are not being needy. You are someone who needs help, who is learning how to reach out. And if you're ever going to practice reaching out, I will tell you, this is the best place to do it. The absolute best place to do it. And if you ever, I mark my words, all of you, if you ever reach out for help and somebody is, let's just pretend, has a bad day inside of No BS. It rarely happens. But I'm not going to like say that when you have 12,000 of us together on periods or in menopause, post-menopause, grandbabies visiting when you're used to getting all the sleep, pregnant mamas, women with newborns, single ladies getting ghosted. When you got all that in one membership, somebody's bound to have a bad day every now and then. You just send us an email at support@pnptribe.com and we will help them. We will see what goes on. I want to tell you all, I always give someone the benefit of the doubt. We may delete your post. We may whatever, but y'all don't need to handle somebody's bad day. Let us do it. Because I just always believe that the people that I attract into my world are people who are genuinely here because they want to start showing up in a way that allows them to have the life that they want. And that they want to be supported. And that means that they're willing to be supportive. But if anything ever happens, y'all just email us and we will reach out to that person and we will check in with them and we will find out what's going on for them. And yes, we don't have bots here. The only bot we even have is if you email us at support, we do send an auto response to let you know we got it and that somebody will reach back out, but it's always a human. Hell, just on the support team, I got four people over there. I'm very dedicated to making sure y'all have as much support and help that you have. It's why we have almost, I think we have 10 coaches. We either have 9 coaches and we're hiring our 10th one. It just, for me, I talk about this to my team all the time. Our biggest difference in weight loss is humans. We're in a world where like you can't talk to humans hardly ever anymore. And I want y'all to have human connection. It is inside of us to want to feel connected, heard, seen, understood. And we will always try our best to make sure we're doing that for y'all. Here's Vern. Vern's like, hey, Vern from community support. She's like, we're here. Let's see. I have a question about frequency of weighing. I listened to the portion of the Conquering the Scale course. Hey, y'all don't let me run over because I do have another class I got to teach. All right, I'm looking at my clock now. I listened to the portion of the Conquering the Scale course about weighing daily, weekly, monthly, but I'm struggling to discern what is best for me. Right now, the number on the scale is really loaded for me in all the ways Corinne describes. If the number is lower than I expected, I think I lucked out. If the number is higher than I wish it were, I feel frustrated and exhausted. I took a 6-week break from weighing and it felt great. Is that okay? Yeah, I think you picked perfect for you. I think you know more about yourself than you're giving yourself credit for. I would just watch this thought that you don't know. I think you do know. I think you know clearly that weighing less frequently allows you to focus on your habits. And there's just a different formula for everyone. Some people are ready to face their thoughts on the scale all the time. Like right now, I'm in a pattern of not weighing at all. Not weighing at all. You know what I'm focused on? How I'm living my life. And I'm focused on how I'm thinking about my body consciously. And I don't want the scale to decide my mood. I want to really focus on what matters and get rocks on there. And then I'll probably go through another phase where I weigh every day or weigh every week or do these other things. I change it up all the time on myself. There's no one right answer. But if you notice, I say this in Conquering the Scale. If you are very triggered, where it's like, no matter what, like, I don't care how much I prepare, Corinne, when I get on the scale, like, it's all the thoughts. I would weigh less frequently. And what I would be doing, though, is tracking my behaviors and thinking about my behaviors in the way that I want to, rewarding myself for behaviors, setting goals around my, we call them the do goals. So in Conquering the Scale, we talk about do goals, which are just your behaviors, your habits and stuff. I would track those. And because you're probably going to have an easier time managing your mind around the habit fluctuations versus the scale fluctuations. And so get really good at your thought processes about yourself and your habits. Your scale will move all on its own. I promise you. Those who get very focused on tracking habits, paying attention to them, working with them, thinking about them, those are the people who lose weight. And it's not an all-day affair. Trust me. Tracking my habits takes me like a minute max in the morning. I use the habit tracker just like y'all do. It's not like it takes, you know, 40 million years to get all this shit done. And then throughout the day, I just pay attention to what I'm doing. Yeah, a lot of you will say, isn't that exhausting to like sit there, Corinne, and eat and still pay attention to like stopping and stuff? I don't think it's exhausting at all because I don't have an exhaustive thought about it. People who find it exhausting are thinking this, this is a lot of work. You know what I think? This is the best work I ever do on myself. It keeps me feeling energy in my body, keeps me looking the way I want to look. It keeps me from getting old habits back on repeat that I don't want anymore. It's the best gift I give myself. That don't feel exhausting at all. What you do is never the exhausting part. How you think about what you're going to do will decide whether you're stressed, overwhelmed, anxious, or exhausted by it. How can I help an accountability partner who fights for being stuck in their own pain? I've pointed out to them the resources and 1% level ups, yet they just can't or won't follow through. It's an all or nothing mentality. You just keep pointing them to the resources. We can't make anybody do anything. Nothing. They just have to come to it. And one of the things that you can do is when somebody is having like an all or nothing mentality, if they say like, I'm just going to have to give up all the cards. You can just say like, really? What if we just gave up, like present them as like a third option? Well, you could always just be off track. You could always give up all the carbs, but you also could for this week, not have 5 cookies every night. What if we just tried planning the cookies just to see what happens? Now they may argue with you and say like, this won't work. This won't work. This won't work. I would just come back and say like, really? Do you know that for 100% sure? What do you think about just trying it? Are you up for an experiment? I'll even do it with you. You could try some things like that. My 6-year-old son recently called me fat. He was very factual. He was very factual, saying my butt wouldn't fit on his body because I'm so fat and he's skinny. It was funny at first, but triggered the thought that he learned this from society and that by society's standard, I'm fat. I know it's not a helpful thought, but it feels very true. Do you have any suggestions for a new thought to replace it? Yeah, I would do exactly the thought you already have. This is not a helpful thought, even though it feels true. I would just tell myself, it doesn't matter what society's teaching him. You know what matters? My reaction, what I teach him. You could tell yourself, I have a way bigger influence on my child than society ever will. And I would also just be like, that's just how I saw it. like my butt being too big for his body, especially a 6-year-old. All right, let me ask you this. I think you're the one who's assuming that you're fat, because what 30, 40, or 50-year-old woman's ass is supposed to fit the size of a 6-year-old child? He just called it fat. But he's also, like, it's just like, that's probably true. There's no person, you could just look, like, if it ever comes up again, you could also say, you know what? Here, you could say, here's what's true. It's not that my butt is fat. It's that I'm an adult and you're a little boy. And let's look at the other areas. Like, your head wouldn't fit my body. Like that, and just say, like, that's a great observation. Just a couple things you could do. I have fallen off the no BS wagon the past month and a half or so. I did amazing for over a month when I started the program. I was very happy with my results. My job has been ridiculously stressful the past month, and I realize that I've been putting just about everything into my job, which has led me to neglecting my self-love and growth. I've fallen back into some old habits, overeating, small binges, eating foods I know that don't make me feel good. Well, that's a lie. So all of you that say, I'm eating foods that don't make me feel good, they do in the moment. You need to just start telling yourself the truth. They're giving me a payoff. I'm eating these foods because in the moment, they do make me feel good. They make me feel better. They make me feel distracted. They're doing these things. We have to be honest about our payoffs. We can't just act like just doing these things, even though they're horrible for me. In the moment, they're not horrible, or you wouldn't do it. I've yet to have anybody come and coach with me and say, I just caught myself taking nails and driving them into my nail beds. I know it's not even good for me. It hurts me. Like, we just want to be honest about our situation. So we just kind of want to take it all down a notch. Let me finish reading it. I feel so overwhelmed and stressed right now with what is going on with my job. I'm a teacher and this year is nuts. So first of all, you got to use the four N's. Notice that you're calling it nuts. Notice that you have just bought hook, line, and sinker the exact story that your brain is telling you. And it's sucking for you. It is driving you crazy. And the result is you're neglecting yourself. It's very easy to neglect ourselves when we keep telling a story that keeps us in a heightened anxious state. You don't need to feel good about your job, but could we just get to where we don't tell it like a novella for your sake? I am not arguing that y'all don't have stress and that things happen, but here's the thing that y'all lose out on. The way you tell your story in your brain either harms you or helps you. It doesn't change circumstances ever. So instead of saying, this year is nuts, can you just say, this year, I've gotten through it so far? Could you just say, like, I have a job. There are times, there are these circumstances happening. It feels very stressful because I think these things about it. Taking it, like, when you start describing things that way, here's what happens. It breaks the emotional tie to the story of it being overwhelming and so hard. That allows you a little bit of pause so that your brain can catch up and can get you back to your basics. But if you think, like, your brain will have an association that if I know the four bases, just don't know how to get back on track and motivated. You don't need to be motivated. You know what you need to be? Calmed the fuck down right now. And the only way to calm yourself down is to look at the thinking that is driving you crazy. It's not the job driving you crazy. Y'all, it's never the job. It's never the person. It's never the world. It's never anything. It is always our thinking. It doesn't mean we won't choose to feel negatively, but I would rather you choose to feel negatively than to feel like your negative emotions are forced upon you. Because if they're forced upon you, you have no agency. You have no authority. I heard a quote the other day that says, we cannot control our circumstances, but we do control our reaction to them. And right now, The way that you're taking control of your circumstances is eating and disengaging from the program and obsessing over what's wrong with your job. That's one choice. That's just one in many choices you could be making about your job. Another choice could be, I'm going to be stressed about my job. I'm going to decide that I'm going to look at my thinking on it. But the new line is, I bet every single day I can just not eat when I'm hungry. And that could be my first start. The job no longer has me eating when I'm not hungry. That's like step one. Agency is like having authority. Somebody asked, like, what is agency? It's just like having authority over something. It means like when I have agency, it means I'm looking at it and I'm taking a control over it. It doesn't mean you change things and stuff, but it's where you find your center of power. So for all of you, the reason why I talk about your fucking brain so much is because we need to figure out that at the end of the day, the way we describe things helps us or hinders us. The way that we look at the world is always an interpretation. There's not a lot of facts. Our brains, the only way that we make reality is to come up with a story. Like, I have a story right now. I've got a cat sitting in the window. The window's open. My story could be, that's very unprofessional. He often walks around. I could have a story about, that's distracting, it's unprofessional, I shouldn't be this way, like I should lock him out, like all this other stuff. The other story is, he ain't bothering nobody. He's just sitting there. Another story, he loves that window. I'm such a good cat mama. I made sure to open the window so that he would have a place to go during my call. We are always just telling stories. Some of them help us and some of them hinder us. And so we need to be careful. So Caitlin, what I would do is I would just start with some of the stories you tell yourself about your job. Question yourself in ways like, is it really nuts, all capital letters? Or are there certain things that stress me out? And there are a few things that don't. Does your job, like right now, your story is, my job has everything to do with why I've disengaged. My job has everything to do with why I'm eating the way I am. Or your story could be like, my job can be stressful and I decide I don't eat over that anymore. And I'm going to watch myself. Your story is, I have no time for self-care. My story is, you had enough fucking time to come to a Q&A and ask a question. What better self-care is there? You have to be careful about how you tell your stories, y'all. Your stories either help you lose weight or your stories are adding to the fuel of why you can't. And I don't want y'all throwing gas on the dumpster fire of why I can't lose weight. So if you don't do anything, then think about this. Where am I blaming my life for what I put in my mouth? And if I stopped blaming my life for that, and I had to take ownership of it, what would I do? What can I tell myself now about food that's more truthful? Those are good questions to ask. All right, y'all. That's it. I will see y'all. I will be in Las Vegas this weekend, but I will be live from the hotel again on Sunday, coaching my fucking face off for all of you. Don't forget, June 4th is our big summer reset workshop that is included with your membership. You can invite your friends. They have to pay $47 to get in, but you don't because you're a member. And then June will be stalls and plateaus. So we're going to help you summer reset and get ready. And then we're going to go into stalls and plateaus. Y'all have a good week. See you soon.